Srila Prabhupada ki,
Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki,
Granta
Raja Shima Bhagavatama ki, Giridas Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Gopri Mani.
So tonight we'll do an overview, chapters 6 to 10. The second half of the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj. Next Monday we'll have the closed book exam beginning at 7 o'clock here in the Temple Theatre. Tomorrow night we'll finish chapter 10, the final section. Then next week from Tuesday we'll begin the Varnashrams section, which is chapters 11 to 15, the final chapters of the 17th. Very interesting section. Describes all about Varnashram, all the Varnas, all the ashrams. Narada speaking to Yudhishthira, so it's a very technical section.
Okay, so we'll go through now chapters 6 to 10.
So I'll try to remember as much as I can of the chapters. If you have anything to add, please add. If you have anything to ask, please ask. Like that. So, this section is very dear to Prabhupada. If you look at Srila Prabhupada's lectures, he lectures more on the seventh canto than any other section, particularly the section about Prahlad Maharaj. So it's very dear to Prabhupada for many reasons. Now, we see that these final five chapters, 6 to 10, they're very philosophical. There's some pastime there, but a lot of it is basically Prahlad Maharaj instructing his classmates and offering prayers. He also offers prayers to Lord Nisringadev. So when I write the exam, I haven't written it yet, but when I write the exam, it will be based upon what we speak in this class tonight. But it will be mainly philosophical points. There's not so much storyline to remember. So when you write your exam, don't just write a whole lot of storyline, because there isn't a lot of storyline there. Sometimes devotees, they answer the question and they just repeat the whole story. I already know the story. I've already read the Bhagavad Gita, I already know it, so I don't need to hear it again. What we're looking for when you answer the questions is, you know, give some realizations or describe the mood and mission of this section of the Bhagavad Gita, or faith and conviction, your faith and conviction in the pastime. Write about your realization, what you're feeling. Don't just repeat the pastime. We already know what the pastime is. Sometimes devotees write half a page about the pastime and then they answer the question. You don't get extra marks, so no need to do it. Yeah, we already know the pastime, so there's no need to just repeat it. It's not about memory. So,
what is the sixth chapter called?
Chapter 6.
Prahlad Maharaj instructs
his demoniac schoolmates.
Okay. So, Prahlad Maharaj had become perfect.
He is a Siddha Bhakta. He is a self-realized devotee. There are three types of people who become perfect. Sadhana Siddha, Kripa Siddha, and Nitya Siddha. He is classified as Nitya Siddha, although there are pastimes in the Puranas which describe how he became Prahlad Maharaj, how he performed some sadhana. He stayed up all night in a temple which was an old ruined temple, which was formerly a temple of Nisringadev, on Nisringa Chaturdasi, fasting, because he'd gone to meet his girlfriend and they had an argument and she left. So then he stayed there, he was angry, so he fasted. He wasn't meditating on Nisringadev, but because it was a Nisringa temple and it was Nisringa Chaturdasi, next lifetime he became Prahlad Maharaj. So the Puranas tell us this is the potency of the power of devotional service, the devotional process of bhakti. But even though you can say he performed sadhana, still Srila Prabhupada
classifies him as a Nichisita. He's classified as Nichisita. Same as Narada. Narada is...
We also hear early in the Bhagavad Gita how Narada was a maidservant's son. And actually, at the end of this, in this canto, which we'll hear about soon, Narada actually discusses who he was in his previous life. But still, even though you can say they're sadhana siddhas, but still Prabhupada, he classifies them as Nichisita. So they are perfect devotees. So Prahlad Maharaj is a Nichisita devotee, he's a perfect devotee. He's definitely in this lifetime as Prahlad, he's completely perfect. He's Nichisita. He's liberated. So whatever he speaks is perfect. So he has heard from his guru, Narada, in the womb. He's become fully self-realized. And now he's instructing his classmates. So this is confusing to everyone. You know? He seems to be in the wrong family. He's born in the family of Asuras, the principal Asuric dynasty in the universe, the most powerful demons of the universe, and yet he's speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So very confusing to everyone. How did he learn this? He said to his friends, I was in the womb previously. So he begins in the sixth chapter, he's instructing his demoniac schoolmates, and he emphasizes that one should begin to hear about devotional service from the very beginning of his life. In the Komara age. Komara means? What age is that Komara? Up to five. 0 to 5. That is Komara.
So it means when you are under 5 years old, you are in the Komara age. Then Pauganda.
Pauganda is 5 to 10. That's like boyhood. First you have childhood, then you have boyhood, then you have adolescence or youthhood, that is Kaishora, 10 to 15 like that, and then Yovana when you get 15 to upwards like that. So he is in Komara, means he's not even 5 yet, up to 5 years old, like around 5 years old, and he's instructing his classmates, but he says that from the very beginning you should be instructed in Krishna consciousness.
When the children are up until the age of 5, that is when we should begin to introduce Krishna consciousness to them. In the Catholic tradition, Christian Catholic tradition, they say that if you give us a child up until the age of 7, if you give us that child before they are 7 years old, they say we will make them a Catholic for their whole life. Because everyone is very impressionable when you're up until 5 years old. Which means, the example is given, you are like clay. So when clay is soft, you can mold it and make shapes. You can turn it into what you want to turn it into. So similarly, when the children are up until the age of 5, they're very pliable, very malleable, right? You can
turn them into devotees easily by introducing Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj says that we must introduce Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of one's life. Then it's much easier for people to take to Krishna consciousness later on. So the impressions, the samskaras, samskara means impression, that should be given from the very beginning. Now, in our philosophy, it's given even before the child is conceived. That is samskara, gavadan samskara. Then, the child is in the womb, more impression should be there. Transcendental sound vibration is there. Then when they are born, then the first 5 years, as much as possible, you give them Krishna consciousness. Then, it is said, Chanakya says, up until the age of 5, you'd be very lenient, very soft on the kids. And then he says, between 5 and 15, you'd be very strict on the kids. Because then they develop good character. Chanakya says that a guru and a father must be very strict on the children, because then they will develop good character. Otherwise, they don't develop good character. They become too independent like that, and they develop bad qualities. So you need strictness, Chanakya says, between 5 and 15. Then from 15 you become like a friend, because then now they'll make their own choices. You've told them everything that you need to tell them, now they have to make their own choices like that. So up until the age of 5, then Prahlad Maharaj is saying, we should
give as much Krishna consciousness as possible. We should give as much Krishna consciousness for the whole life, but especially in those beginning years, because then the children will become, those impressions will stay with them the whole life. So then he emphasizes the importance of practicing brahmacharya and living in the gurukul. Now Prabhupada, he gives famous purports about the comparison between the modern educational system. How does Prabhupada explain the modern educational system? Slaughterhouse. Prabhupada's very...
He also says even in the womb they're killing the children.
So Prabhupada describes the modern educational system as slaughterhouse. How do you enjoy your slaughterhouse, Aditya? How do you enjoy your school? Not good? It's like a slaughterhouse.
But
really?
All of us send our children to slaughterhouses if there's a case.
Yeah.
Why need to be sending it, but there's no realization of harm.
Yeah. And your kids turned out fine anyways.
I'm saying if I know that it's a slaughterhouse, knowingly I'm sending my child to a slaughterhouse, which is not fair on a parent. So therefore I don't have realization that it's a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, it's a good point. Prabhupada's saying like that because it's not an ideal system. We don't have a spiritual underpinning of the educational system. The modern educational system is not based on spirituality. It's based on materialism.
Secular.
Yeah. Where it could be based on a spiritual underpinning. And then, you know, you can teach all the necessary material subjects in this world, but there should be a spiritual underpinning to the entire situation. That's Prabhupada's point. Yeah. So he's saying it's like a slaughterhouse. So what does that mean? That means that we need to have Krishna conscious primary schools, Krishna conscious high schools, and Krishna conscious universities. That was Prabhupada's vision. Where you can go, and everyone, not everyone, but many of the people at the universities are devotees. Imagine you go to the cafeteria of the university and it's all prasadam. How ecstatic would that be? Imagine if the whole cafeteria is all prasad. You don't have to worry. Oh, does this have egg in it, or does this have rennet? No, it's all prasad. Like that. So this is what Prabhupada envisioned, actually. This shows how far our movement has to go yet. You know, you see the Catholics, they have Catholic universities. They have a 2,000-year head start on this. But they have Catholic universities. All the groups, they have different universities. And even some of the bogus gurus in India, they have universities. ISKCON hasn't done that yet. We still have a long way to go. We only open a few primary schools. We don't even have high schools. Like that. So there's so much further to go yet. So Prabhupada says this is the answer. He wants a Krishna conscious educational system. Okay. So he compares what's happening in the modern world to a slaughterhouse. Of course our kids can go through the entire slaughterhouse and still come out perfect devotees. Just like Shekhar's two kids, they turned out fine. Doesn't mean that it won't work or it can't work, but obviously it's a razor's edge. It's dangerous. Because there's a lot of negative influence there as well. So naturally, we need to do these things. So Prabhupada is encouraging him in the purport. So then he's saying the ideal system is Gurukula. No? Gurukula is an ancient system. But basically, even if the children are not going to the Gurukula in the traditional system, where they stay away from the parents, no? In the modern day, they stay with the parents, but if they go to a Krishna conscious school, that would be ideal. Because this is an ancient system, this Gurukul system. It may or may not work so well in Kali Yuga, and it is there, and it can be done, but at least if we had educational systems which were Krishna conscious, that would be wonderful. And Prabhupada would be very pleased. So, either way, Prabhupada emphasizes that, and Prahlad Maharaj emphasizes that, one must practice brahmacharya. Now, in the next section, which we're about to go into, 11-2, then there will be deep instructions about brahmacharya ashram, the importance of brahmacharya.
To bring a child up as a brahmachari or a brahmacharini, it is powerful training. And it carries one through one's entire life. So one needs to have this kind of Krishna conscious training in the beginning of one's life. Because it gives you a great amount of impetus. Just like Shekhar's boy, Abhishek, he's going to become a brahmachari. And he's practicing brahmachari. And he's living as a brahmachari. So this is ideal. I lived as a brahmachari for 8 years. And it is still, those 8 years are still carrying me now. That brahmachari training I got and that absorption in Krishna consciousness that I had at that time is still carrying me all these years later. So it is an ideal system. The devotees, young men, young women, they can have the opportunity to just practice brahmacharya. Not associating with the opposite sex. And just absorbing themselves in study of the Shastra and service to Guru and Krishna. So this is the ideal system. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, the best thing is that you become a brahmachari. Where is he getting this from? This mood or these instructions from? From his guru. And what does his guru do? We've seen in the previous cantos. When Daksha has kids, turns them all into brahmacharis. 10,000 at a time. Yeah. He took them all and he turned them all into brahmacharis. So Prahlad Maharaj is repeating this instruction from his guru. We should have brahmachari training. So then, Prabhupada emphasizes in this section that all of us should advance while we are young. Make advancement while you can. Because as you get older, it becomes more and more difficult. Because the body becomes gives you more and more problems. Is it true? Sharada Radha Mataji?
Sorry?
Is it hard to advance when you get older because the body is giving you problems? Or?
It does.
It does. It becomes difficult to practice Krishna consciousness?
Not really, because you can't do so much as you used to do before. You slow down.
You slow down, yeah.
No energy.
No energy. So then, Prabhupada is emphasizing, while you're young, take advantage of it. Before grey hairs begin appearing on your head. When the grey hairs begin appearing in your head, that is a sign. You're on this second half of the track. You're running around the track. We used to run around the track when we were at school. Right? When the grey hairs come, it means you're on the second half. Well, the finish line is coming. Right? When you see the grey hairs, that's Krishna's indication. Get serious. Because time is running out. So Prabhupada says, while you're young, while you have the opportunity, make advancement. while the body is not giving you so many problems. Because it will give you more and more problems as time goes by. So Prabhupada is emphasizing for all of us, take advantage of your Krishna consciousness now. Whatever age you're at, Be serious about your Krishna consciousness. Because age happens very quickly. We get old very quickly. That's the nature of the material world. So, Prahlad Maharaj, he emphasizes to his friends, you have to practice sense control in this human form of life. And Prabhupada says in the purport, we have to become a Goswami. All of us. Goswami doesn't necessarily mean that we become sannyasis. Right? Because the Mataji's can't become sannyasis anyway. And most of the men, hands up, how many of the men in this room will take sannyas? One hand went up and it went down. And the desire was there, but when you thought about it then.
But I can recall back my statement to Nirmala. My engagement, be ready that I may one day take sannyas. You know, for 20 years back, and what now you like to do. I did not know the meaning of sannyas at that time.
And she picked up one of the pots in the kitchen. Yeah, so Prabhupada is emphasizing whatever position we are in this material world, whether we're brahmachari, grihastha, Vanaprastha Sannyasi, whether we're like Brahminical or we're more like Shudra or whatever our position is in this world, every devotee has to become a Goswami. Goswami means you have to get control of your senses. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching to his friends. Control your senses. If you control your senses, you make advancement in spiritual life. Right? This is the beginning of the Upadeshamrita. Rupa Goswami says, Vacha Vegan. It says, Vacha. Vegan. Vegan means urge. You must control your urges or your senses, your mind, your anger. All these things, they need to be controlled, all the urges, if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? Spiritual life means A, B, C. Krishna says, Asochanam Vasochastvam. Prabhupada says, he starts at A. A means, right, control your senses. This is the beginning of spiritual life. Upadeshamrita, first verse, control your senses. Then we'll go forward. So, Prahlad Maharaj says, if you don't control your senses, you don't make advancement. You don't go any further as a devotee. For every devotee, regardless of which position you're in, you have to control your senses. And Rudra Prabhu said that at the wedding last week when he was giving his talk. He said this, but everyone, all the varnas, all the ashrams, right, we have to practice sense control. Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying this. Same point. Now, he also says to his friends, avoid asatsanga tyaga, e vaishnavacha. He doesn't say it in those words, but he says the same thing that Mahaprabhu says. Avoid demoniac association. Now that's very difficult for these boys, because the whole family is demoniac. Mum's a demon, dad is a demon, everyone else is a demon, the teachers are demons. And look, and then Prahlad Maharaj is saying, avoid the association of the demons. So, we should, as much as possible, avoid association with demons. Although, what does a demon mean? A demon means one who is addicted to sense gratification. So anyone who is addicted to sense gratification, a satsanga tyaga. So that may mean family members. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Okay, your family, they're all asuras, they're all addicted to sense gratification. You're going to have to minimize your association with them. It's difficult. So, you know what it's like being, particularly from an Indian background, sometimes you have to limit your association with your parents. That's very difficult in that culture. Prahlad Maharaj is an Indian. Right? He's saying to his friends, very difficult, but he's saying, you have to limit your association with your parents. They're not a good influence on you. So if we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to give up demoniac association. Associating with people who are too attached to?
Money and
women. Yeah, money and women.
People in India, they are half and half devoted to that already. They do practice Krishna consciousness, they eat everything. Like, they run off their food and stuff. What sort of association you should have in that?
Try to bring them to Krishna consciousness if you can. And if it's not working, then you have to limit how much you give the association. Depends how strong you are also, because if you're strong in Krishna consciousness, like Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu would walk into the brothel with the prostitutes and he'd turn people into devotees. So you have to know your strength and your limitations. If you're strong, you can associate with non-devotees and you can transform them. But you have to be careful, you don't become contaminated or influenced by their association.
They all ask you to eat. Come on, eat.
What's that?
They all ask you to take something from my house.
Yeah, so we have to emphasize to them that you have to learn to offer the food to Krishna. Try to educate them.
It's equally important that while we are trying to distance ourselves from non-devotees, I feel it's equally responsibility of the devotees to mingle with other devotees, or they should positively give their associates to other devotees, even if they find some devotees are a bit shy or otherwise. We should make an extra effort to see that they are brought into the mainstream, otherwise they'll be left out.
know my feet. Can we lie to them? Which I have eaten? Means anything like
that? It's up to you. If you want to say something like that,
yeah. You don't offend them. You don't want to eat because you're not devoted. Then he said, we can say that even we have eaten them, we just eat. So I just lie.
It's very difficult because, you know, I mean, if, as long as they're strict vegetarian, then okay, then. Yeah, maybe you have to make some compromise.
They use the onion garlic.
Yeah, so then you have to.
They are strict vegetarian, but the onion
garlic. Sometimes Prabhupada would go and he would see that the life members had put onion or garlic in there, or they were offering their food to Kali, or that's, and then Prabhupada would say, oh, I'm feeling sick. You have to work it out. It is difficult to do these things. So.
I have got a friend, and he, if he goes there, he said, I'm allergic to eggs and meat. And that's
yeah, do what you need to do.
I find that this mother was very religious, actually. When I was married, he made the relationship group.
Okay. So we see the Prahlad Maharaj.
What is his mood towards the demoniac people? Yeah, he preaches to them. We should be compassionate. We should preach to the demoniac. He's right in the middle of these demons. Just like us. We're right in the middle of the demons. What is a demon? Someone who's attached to sense gratification. So what does Prahlad Maharaj do? At lunchtime, he gets all his friends together and he does kirtan in the school ground. So what will you do at school, Aditya? You will get all your friends together at lunchtime and distribute prasadam from your lunchbox and have kirtan. This is Prahlad Maharaj's system.
Actually, in Telugu, there's a very nice movie on Prahlad, very beautiful movie. Actually, I watched one song of that. It's all about what he's teaching in the sixth chapter. 100 years duration, how we spend everything.
So that is his situation. So he's the same. We have to somehow or other, even though we're in the middle of demoniac association at our work, at our school, wherever we are, somehow or other we have to introduce Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other. As much as we can. Like that. But that should be our practice. Following the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Right? Even though he was surrounded by demons, right, he preached. Right? And what was his success rate? The whole school became devotees. Like that. So if we just try, if we just put some effort in, people will become attracted to Krishna consciousness. Even if they just become attached to prasadam. Prasadam, Prabhupada said, is the secret weapon. Right? Just give prasadam. Just like my spiritual master, he went back to school, right? At an advanced age in his 50s, went back to university, right? And if you read his pastimes at that point, practically all he was doing is just giving out prasadam every day. Every day he'd bring like a little box of brownies, like an American kind of sweet, like a fudge, and he had everyone addicted to it. Right? As soon as everyone saw him every day, they'd say, do you have any brownies? And he'd just carry the box with him all the time, just open them up, just give prasadam, give prasadam, give prasadam, give prasadam. Everyone was addicted. Like that. So maybe that's all you can do, but you should be doing it. That's the point. Turn the demons into devotees. Make them attached to Krishna. That's what Prahlad Maharaj was doing.
My Prabhu does his company. He doesn't take the prasadam for a week. Then
this is the system. All of us should do like that. Yeah. And if they become more advanced, then one day they might turn around and might say to you, you know, why don't we have kirtan at lunch today? Well, they might say, why don't you tell us all about Prahlad Maharaj's teachings today? Maybe, maybe not, but at least give them prasadam. Okay, what is chapter 7 called?
What Prahlad Maharaj
what Prahlad learned in the womb.
Okay.
So more instructions are given here. A great deal of philosophy. So he's telling his schoolmates all about the instructions he received from Narada.
So he says,
or Prabhupada points out in the very beginning of the chapter, devotional service cannot be checked by any material circumstance.
We can never make any excuse
and say that we cannot practice our bhakti or our devotional service or chant our rounds because this happened or this happened or this happened. We cannot say like that. Why? Because Prahlad Maharaj, even when he was in the womb, right, he was practicing Krishna consciousness. And when he came out, he was surrounded by demons, but still he continued to practice Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is pointing out to us that devotional service can't be stopped by anything. And we see the example in ISKCON. The original members of the society of ISKCON in Russia, they were persecuted. They were put into concentration camps and psychiatric wards, and they were tortured. But they didn't stop practicing Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness cannot be stopped by any material circumstance. There's nothing that can stop us, even if we're put in jail. Prabhupada said we will go on chanting Hare Krishna. Korma Prabhu was put in jail. And they came and got him on the street and put him in jail like that. But then he had to stay there for 10 days. He didn't think it would go for that long, so it wasn't very nice. He thought he'd only be there for 1 or 2 days, but they didn't stop. They chanted, right? They only took prasadam, right? And they distributed prasadam to the prisoners who were inside the prison with them. So this is the system.
So Prabhupada is emphasizing we don't have any excuses. Now,
when the demigods, they find out that Prahlad is in the womb of Hiranyakashipu's wife, Hiranyakashipu has gone to the forest to do further austerities. He's not present. So they think, okay, now it's an opportunity. We have to kill her. Because the child in the womb must be even more powerful than him. He's just going to cause more problems. So they want to kill. And then Narada comes. And Narada Muni explains to the demigods, you don't understand, the child in here is a pure devotee. Even if you try to kill him, you cannot. He's protected by God himself. He is a pure Vaishnava, Amala Bhakta. So, when they understand the situation, they all circumambulate. The wife of Hiranyakashipu, they all circumambulate Prahlad Maharaj. And then, they give Hiranyakashipu's wife to Narada. And then she is taken to Narada's ashram. And Narada begins to instruct her. And instruct the child within the womb.
So then the instructions are given.
Great emphasis is given by Narada
that we must be very careful of associating with the opposite sex.
And Prahlad Maharaji repeats this also. That this is the cause of bondage in this material world. When you become attached to women or attached to men, according to what your particular body is or your proclivity is, that is the cause of your bondage within this material world. So, where do we find protection when we're in this material world? From taking shelter of pure devotees. Same teaching Prahlad Maharaj is giving as Rishabhdev is given in the fifth canto. And you'll see that Prabhupada, his first most popular section of the Bhagavatam that he lectured on was the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj's teaching, and his second most popular section was Rishabhdev's teachings. And the teachings are exactly the same. Rishabhdev has already warned us. Be very careful about becoming attached to the opposite sex, right? And transfer your attachment to Mahatmas or saintly personalities. Yeah, Kapila says as well. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. So the Bhagavad Gita is repeating to us. Give up your satsanga, your attachment to that which is temporary, and become attached to saintly persons, because they will liberate you from this material world. If we develop the nature of the soul is to be attached, but instead of being attached to a man or a woman for material sense gratification, transfer your natural proclivity to be attached to a pure devotee, and this will liberate you from this material world once and for all. So it is being taught here that the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us pure devotional service. Prahlad's teachings are pure devotional service. Narada's teachings to Prahlad are pure devotional service, fully surrendered to Krishna. And this devotional service must be learned in disciplic succession, parampara, which is Krishna's instructions in the Gita. We must hear this through disciplic succession. So Prahlad heard it from Narada. Narada instructed Prahlad. Now Prahlad is instructing his school friends. This is the system.
He says at one point that to get this knowledge is very difficult, but it can be only achieved by the mercy of a pure devotee. So I got the mercy from Narada Muni. I got it. So if you all also put same faith in my words, then you will also get
it. Yeah, he repeats this during this section. The emphasis on guru, that one must become attached to the spiritual master. That is how we become liberated from this material world. Okay. So then actually, the very next section, it describes that one needs to become attached to the spiritual master. That is the system of liberation from the material bondage that we find ourselves in. Now, if we worship the guru will reveal Krishna to us, which is Mahaprabhu's teachings. Guru Krishna, Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata, Vija. Prabhupada explains that when you worship the spiritual master brings you to Krishna. Krishna brings you first to your spiritual master. When you find spiritual master, guru, the guru brings you back to Krishna. That is the system. And all through this section, we hear that Prahlad is again and again emphasizing to us, we need to become attached to our spiritual master. Your attachment to the guru cannot be superficial and it cannot be mechanical. It has to be based on great love and affection. So, the Bhagavad Gita actually mentions in this point that we must serve the guru with love, with affection. It's the same as Rupa Goswami instructs in the very beginning of the 64 items of bhakti within the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion. He says Vishrambena. Vishrambena means when we serve the guru, it must be with great affection. You can't serve the guru mechanically. I mean, of course you can. But ultimately, the guru has to be served with great love and affection. And we see that Prahlad Maharaj is emphasizing this, and Narada is emphasizing this. This should be the mood when we approach the spiritual master.
What is that word for you?
Vishrambena. Yeah. If you look up in the in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if you get the Bhavan Swami's translation, then you'll see all the Sanskrit is in there.
I can't serve somebody artificially and then suddenly become sincere, love and affection to Guru Maharaj. I have to cultivate whatever service I do, it should be love and affection. No matter whether the person is Guru Maharaj or anyone, only then the consistency is maintained. Otherwise it's not a mechanical switch that for some people I do it artificially. And when it comes to Guru Maharaj, suddenly I become devoted.
Yeah, that's a good point. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, then he will see all living entities equally. But still there is special affection which one offers to the Guru. Now if one serves the Guru like this, then Prahlad Maharaj emphasizes that one will develop ecstasies in devotional service. And then he begins to describe very high levels of devotion. And we see that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Romancha Kampashu Taranga Bhajo, and we see that tears are coming from the eyes, the hairs are standing on end, the body is quivering, the voice is faltering. This is the result of one becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. That means he is serving the Guru or serving Krishna with bhava. This is the sadhya or the goal that we're aiming for in Krishna consciousness. That when we serve the deities, we will have tears in our eyes. When we serve the spiritual master, we will have tears in our eyes. Or when we serve any of the devotees, we will have tears in our eyes. Do you sometimes cry when you see another devotee? Sometimes you do, because you're thinking, oh my God, I don't want to see them again. I notice devotees cry when they see me a lot. I think, oh God, here he comes again. So the tears come. We don't want those kind of tears. We want the tears where devotees will feel so much affection for each other. The tears will come from the eyes when you see the devotees. Some devotee that you are very attached to, you haven't seen for a long time. Or some devotee that when they leave, a very dear friend of yours, then tears will naturally come to the eyes, like that. So this means that the relationship is becoming very intimate. This is called Suvrit, Sauridam, Sarvabhutanam. So Krishna is like this, and we should become like this with the spiritual master and with the other devotees also. Okay. So then chapter 8 is called?
The Lord slays the king of demons.
What is it?
The Lord slays the king of demons.
The Lord slays the king of demons. So in chapter 8, who appears? Lord Narasimha. The Sringadeva appears. Okay. So why? What invoked Lord Nrisimhadeva to appear in this chapter?
Because
Prabhupada emphasizes we have to be careful of Vaishnava Aparad. Because Hiranyakashipu was torturing and offending a pure devotee of Krishna. We have to be very careful about offending any devotee of Krishna. Even our family members. Sometimes we forget, because they are our family members, we don't treat them with so much respect. The husband and the wife, maybe they don't treat each other with so much respect because they can become over familiar. But Gaurakshetra Babaji Maharaj says you should offer your obeisances every morning to your wife, because she is a Vaishnavi. This should be the attitude. The attitude should be, this should be respect based upon our devotional practices for each other, even in the family. Should be very careful. Don't commit offences. So the more pure the devotee is, or the more elevated the devotee is, the more serious the offence becomes. And Hiranyakashipu, the devotee was a pure devotee. The devotee was the highest devotee. He was the most powerful devotee in the universe, practically, Prahlad Maharaj. And he was trying to commit the most serious offence to him, which is corporal, which means physically he was trying to harm him. He was trying to kill him. He actually says, in around the 13th verse or something, he says, I will cut your head off. For his own son, a 5-year-old boy, who is a pure devotee of Krishna, who is a saint. So the Lord cannot tolerate this. Yeah, right. I mean, rascal is nothing. He was going to take a sword and cut off his son's head. We can't even think. So this was too much for
Lord Nisringadev. He could not tolerate this. So this invoked the full anger of God. God in his Adbhut form.
Tavakala kamara varina kam Adbhuta. Adbhuta. Adbhut means wonderful. Adbhut.
Just like that temple we're building in Mayapur, which everyone has to give donations for. Right?
Adbhut mandir. Adbhut means phenomenal, amazing.
So, Adbhut, Krishna manifested. Why? Because he needed to protect the devotee. So Krishna reciprocates. Yeyata mam prapanchanti tamstateva bhajamyaham. As you surrender, I will reciprocate. So if you are pure, Lord Nisringadev will appear and he will protect you. Because we are not so pure, Nisringadev, we can't see him. But he is there. He's always watching over us. So the Lord is always protecting the devotee. Now, Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu says, where is your Lord? Why are you so defiant? You don't follow your father, you don't follow the king. And then Prahlad Maharaj preaches to him. He said, you've conquered everything in this universe, but you failed to conquer your six enemies. Lust, anger, greed. All of these enemies you have not conquered. So Prahlad Maharaj is giving us very pertinent, important instructions. What is the point of whatever we become in the material world if we can't even control our mind? What is the point of whatever we become in the material world if we can't control lust, anger and greed? What success have we actually achieved? And you look at modern civilization, people are not emphasizing these things. Where is the emphasis on controlling lust, anger and greed, or controlling your mind? Right? Modern civilization tells you to do the opposite. Right? Exploit your lust, your anger, your greed, and don't control your mind. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, then what is the good of everything that you do in this world?
Then he says that actually, externally we think we have so many enemies. Actually, the enemy is within us, in the mind. You cannot control the enemy, there's no external enemy.
Yeah.
Mind itself is the biggest enemy. When you control that, then you won't have any enemies.
Then you become a Goswami. So then, finally, out of anger, when God becomes really angry, what does he look like? Right? He looks like a half man, half lion. Just like when sometimes when someone becomes angry, they look a little bit like a lion. You notice that when people become angry? They look like a lion. And they become scary. So, he becomes so angry, when God becomes so angry, normally God looks like this. Right? But when he becomes really angry, he becomes half lion. So angry. Right? He's so angry. This form manifests. Adbhuta form. This amazing form. It was amazing because when he came out of the pillar, Hiranyakashipu saw, he said, what is this? He could not tell. He said, is this a lion or is it a man? What is this? I've never seen this creature before. I've never seen this form before. So this form was the personification of anger. This is anger personified. Our anger is not so impressive. We become angry. Just like, you know, if someone watches us from a distance and we're getting angry, you see people, usually they're just laughing at us. We're becoming so angry, and other people are thinking, who is this fool? What is their anger? You see, when Nisringadev becomes angry, this is the sum total of anger. This is unlimited anger. Right? And everyone in the universe becomes petrified. The demigods cannot even approach. No one can even go near this person. Yeah, it says there's only two people are mentioned are not overwhelmed by this anger. right? Lord Shiva and Prahlad Maharaj. They're the only two who understand this is just Krishna is angry at the moment. But they don't become affected by it. But everyone else becomes completely distraught.
Even all the devotees, the demigods, Indra and all the devotees, they cannot even approach this form. It is so frightening. Like that. So, this form protects the devotees.
Just like the mother lion, she protects the cubs with her teeth.
She picks up the cubs behind the neck with the loose skin. Right? The lion's teeth are very dangerous. I even saw one documentary where the mother tiger, sometimes tigers, if there's nothing to eat, they eat the young. But the baby tigers, nothing to eat, they'll eat the, because they're hungry. So the big tiger, big male, he came because he was hungry, and the female, she was smaller than him, and she had two or three cubs, but she became so angry to protect her cubs that the male backed off. And he was a big tiger, but she was so angry that he backed off. So this is what Krishna is like, because he's protecting his devotees. So he protects us. So we have nothing to fear. Even though he's like a lion, which is very scary for the demons, for the enemies, but for the devotees, there's nothing to fear. Actually, he's always looking after us. He just strokes Prahlad Maharaj on the head. Like that. So for the devotees, he's always protecting. Even though we can't see him, but he's always looking after us. He's always looking over us. And Prabhupada said when Mr. Nair finally died of a heart attack, he said, I was praying to Lord Nisringadev to kill this demon. So Prabhupada was meditating on Lord Nisringadev. Yeah, he's giving too many problems. Yeah. So he got killed. So Prabhupada was meditating on Nisringadev, meditating on this form. So the Bhagavatam points out that this form is situated in Vishuddha Sattva. It is not material. The form of Nisringadev, the form of God, is completely spiritual. Even though the demons, they may see it in some other way, just like Prabhupada explains, when Krishna himself came to earth 5,000 years ago, the demons thought that his form was material. And they saw it that way. But the devotees see his form as completely spiritual. It's in Vishuddha Sattva. So even though he's angry, the devotee doesn't see that this is a material form or a material emotion. Anger can also be spiritual. It doesn't mean our anger is spiritual. Every time we become angry, we say to our husband or our wife, oh, that's okay, that was spiritual. My anger is spiritual. Just because you're a devotee doesn't mean your anger is always spiritual. But Krishna's anger, if Krishna becomes angry, it is spiritual anger. It is not material. So sometimes the non-devotees, they can't understand. Just like Prabhupada, we gave the example. He was at the Pandal program, and someone stood up in the audience, and there was like 10,000 people there, or 20 or 30,000 people there. And someone stood up the audience, they were challenging Prabhupada. And after some time, Prabhupada became fed up. He said, sit down! Sit down! And he kept yelling at the man. Because, you know, the man was trying to speak over Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just kept yelling, sit down! Prabhupada was angry. So when Prabhupada did that, hundreds of people got up and left. Because they thought, you know, this is not sadhu. Sadhu doesn't get angry. And Prabhupada said afterwards, that this is sentimental. Because anger can be a spiritual emotion also. Like that. We can use anger in Krishna's service. But when Krishna becomes angry, it's completely spiritual. It's not material. It's Vishuddha Sattva. So, Prabhupada emphasizes, why did Hiranyakashipu, why was he killed? He committed offenses. And why, Prabhupada says, why was he killed? Because he was impious. Dushkrita means if you are impious or if you are sinful, you will be destroyed by God. And you see everyone in this material world, when they become sinful, right? Their life is shortened, their wealth is taken away, their opulence, their good fortune, everything deteriorates. Whereas if one is a devotee, or if one is a pious person, one lives for a long time, one becomes opulent, he becomes wealthy, good fortune, good things happen to him. This is the result of piety. And so good things are happening to us because we're devotees. Just by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, everything auspicious comes, materially and spiritually. The Bhagavatam says that in many places. At the end of many chapters, it says that just by studying this Bhagavatam, you will get all material benedictions and spiritual benedictions. That is the potency. Not that we're studying the Bhagavatam for material benedictions. We're studying to become... Yeah, we're studying because we want to increase our devotion to Krishna. But still, if one is a good devotee, then automatically so many materially good things will take place in one's life.
The example of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, even Dhruva Maharaj initially approached the Lord with the material motive, but later on he didn't want it. But then the Lord gave him, so they are like byproducts of devotion. Not that Dhruva Maharaj wanted it, but sinners, even Prahlad Maharaj didn't want, he tempts in the next chapter.
Yeah.
He tempts with this, but they don't want, but they come as a byproduct of devotion, the Lord benedicts them.
Thanks
to
him, that's really great.
Yeah.
So the fight that takes place between Hiranyakashipu and Lord Nrisimhadeva goes on for many hours. Nrisimhadeva appears around midday and he kills Hiranyakashipu at sunset. So it probably goes for like 6 hours or something, this fight. It goes for a long time. It's a big fight. All the demigods are watching it. Now, why is Nrisimhadeva doing this? Why does he fight with someone?
Because
his body likes to... Chivalry. Chivalrous Rus. Because the Lord is Raso Vaisaha. Raso Vaisaha means he enjoys rasa. He enjoys exchanges with others. He enjoys relationships. So one of the secondary rasas is chivalry, which means competitiveness. All of us are competitive. Hands up if you like to compete. I love it. I love to compete. I love to challenge and fight. I love to beat Yogi at tennis. That's why he doesn't play me anymore. He's scared. Like that song.
That's special.
Huh? We've been chastised. That is the mode of passion. You're probably right, it's the mode of passion in our case.
When you grew up older, you didn't want to compete.
Really? Prabhupada was very competitive.
Prabhupada
was different. No. Actually, the nature of the soul is to be competitive. Yeah. Why? Because competition is in Krishna. So competition is in the soul. It's natural. Prabhupada was very competitive. No? Just like the BBT were printing books and Tamal Krishna Maharaj and his party were distributing the books. So it's like a competition going on between the BBT, how many they could print. As soon as they would print, they would just buy the books and distribute them. It's like a competition. So they're telling Prabhupada, as much as they can print, we can distribute. They can't keep up with us. It's like a whole competition going on. And Prabhupada said, You may be distributing so many, and he may be printing so many, but I am already like 7 or 8 volumes ahead of all of you in my translation work, and you cannot keep up. So he was competitive, that was his nature. That's the nature of the soul, to be competitive. It's in us, we like to compete.
I think you might be encouraging the disciples to do it for
you. Yeah, he was encouraging everyone to compete.
But the thing is, the problem is something.
Oh God. Just accept the point. The soul is competitive.
Even Goswami didn't. Rupa Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami just said the Deva Goswami because he went to that man.
Corrected Balabhadra. No, that's a totally different thing. That's a different thing. The nature of the soul is to be competitive, right? We like to compete. Why? Because it's in Krishna. It's the nature of God. And because we are created in the image of God, it's in us. But the nature of God, he likes to compete. Right? He enjoys it. He likes a challenge. It's called chivalrous ras. So he likes when he has to battle with someone. It's a lot of fun to battle with someone, right? To the death, right? That's very exciting. It's very enjoyable. The Kshatriyas, they love it. Happy are the Kshatriyas, which the fighting opportunities come unsought, opening to the doorways, the gateway of heaven. So it is the nature of the Lord. He likes to compete. So he's enjoying this rasa. So when this fight takes place, right, he's enjoying it. But the Bhagavatam says it's just like a cat and a mouse. Right? He's just playing with Hiranyakashipu. Right? It's like sometimes you watch the tennis matches. You know, Djokovic is playing Nadal or something. You're just like playing with him. Like that. You know, because they know they're going to win, but they're just enjoying it. Like that. So the Lord, he knows he's going to win, but he's enjoying the whole leela, the pastime. So this is chivalrous ras. And at the end, after he finally kills Hiranyakashipu, what does he do? It mentions at the end of the 8th chapter. After all of that, what does he do? Yeah, he sits on his throne. Right? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, why does he sit on his throne? Because he is, in the spiritual world, Hiranyakashipu is Jai. And Jai is a great devotee of the Lord. So actually, the Lord, even when someone is being a demon, from his transcendental vision, he sees that actually this soul originally was a devotee. And because he's a devotee, actually he loves me. But at the moment he's in Maya, he's acting like this. But his original form, he loves me, and he has made this beautiful throne for me. So therefore, he sits in it as an offering from his devotee. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes that comment. Then what is chapter 9 called?
Then how did he keep up that promise of Hiranyakashipu that I should not be killed during the one of those promises?
In the day or the night?
Inside, outside, but I know that I
he killed him at sunset. So.
Yeah, he appeared at midday.
Yeah. The fight went on all day. He appeared around about midday, but then the fight went for like 6 hours or so. And then he waited for the sun to go down, and that's when he killed him at that time. So chapter 9 is called?
Prahlad pacified the Lord with prayers.
What is it?
Prahlad pacified the Lord with prayers.
So he offers many, many prayers to the Lord. So
Prahlad Maharaj is fearless. So even though the Lord is so angry and all the other demigods, they stay at a distance, Prahlad Maharaj goes forward, and the Sringadev, he...
If Lord Brahma tells him to go forward because everybody is scared, even Lakshmi Devi, she was also afraid, then Lord Brahma says, please you go. Like, you know, he will be standing very close to Narasimhadev. He said, please go and pacify
him. Prabhupada explains that Lakshmi is... covered by yoga maya. That's why she's scared. Because normally the wife is not scared of the husband.
Is that true?
That anger, she's also
scared. What's
that? Is that true?
Is your wife scared of you? The wife's not normally scared of the husband.
The husband is scared.
That's a different pastor. We're all scared of our wives. But the husband... the wife is not scared of the husband, but she's covered by Yogamaya, so even she won't approach him. But Prahlad, he is not scared, so he goes forward. And he offers many beautiful prayers to Nrisimhadeva. One thing that he emphasizes is that, and when he speaks all of his prayers, he said, this world is like a forest fire. He said it is samsara dava nala. It is a place of suffering. And he says that everyone in this material world, they're being burnt by this forest fire. And then Nrisimhadeva says that, I want to offer you benedictions. And he says, the only benediction that I want, and this is why Prabhupada really was attached to this section of the Bhagavatam, because Prabhupada's entire mood was this mood. Right? Because Nrisimhadeva says, I will give you benediction, what do you want? Prahlad says, I don't want anything for myself. I just want that all these fools and rascals be delivered by you. Receive your mercy. They get the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. So that's a devotee. That is paradukaduki. And that was Prabhupada's mood entirely. Was that everyone in the world is given an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. We have to create opportunities. Prabhupada says we have to rack our brains for ways to try to take the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. That was Prabhupada's mood. It was just thinking all the time. Now, if you look at the Leelamrita, Prabhupada was just thinking all the time of new ways to take people back to the spiritual world. So Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want anything for myself, but just help all of them. And then what does he say? Why are they attached to this material world? Because they're attached to sex life. And he says that is just like the rubbing of the two hands together to relieve the itch. Right? That is the sex life. That is what they're attached to. So that is what keeps us in this material world. Right? Attachment to the opposite sex. Boys are attached to girls, girls are attached to boys. And that's, Prabhupada says in the first purport of the Bhagavatam 111, Srila Prabhupada says it is the active principle of the material world. It is sex desire. That's what keeps everyone in the material world constantly. So Prahlad Maharaj, he says, they're all simply attached to sex life. And he wants all of us to be delivered from that. That is his desire. What is chapter 10 called? The best amongst the exalted devotees. So you'll see that when Prahlad is offered benediction to the Lord, he then prays to the Lord, I don't want to deal with you in a vanic way. I don't want to make this like a business transaction. Right? I don't want to just deal with you like a businessman. You give me this and then I will do this for you. He says, I just want to serve you. That is my only desire.
I'm your eternal servant and you are my eternal master. Like, our relationship be like that. No other relationship.
Yeah, so that is the mood of the devotee. He doesn't want anything in exchange for his service. That is something we have to work on. You know, I'm looking at myself more and more now because I've been a devotee for a number of years. So I'm looking at myself more and thinking, why is it that I do this? Why do I do all this devotional service? Why do I do all this service to Krishna? What is actually my motivation? And we have to look further and further and further into our heart, and we have to see what is it that's actually motivating us. And we have to clear out anything which is not pure. And we have to make our motivation to Krishna, Krishna, I'm just doing this because it will give you pleasure. It's a very advanced level of devotional service. But we have to work towards getting towards that. Instead of always thinking, because so many times we do devotional service that in our mind we justify doing the service because of this reason, and this reason, as opposed to just doing it because it will give Krishna pleasure. So we have to analyze our devotional mood and mentality. So then, Prahlad Maharaj, he becomes the emperor of the universe. Lord Brahma installs him as the emperor of the Asuras, and he rules the Asuras with detachment,
same as Dhruva Maharaj, same as Maharaj Priyavrata, same as Yudhishthira, same as Parikshit, same as everyone. All the great kings in the Bhagavatam. They did their service, they did their duty, but with detachment, not attached to the position. So then the Lord chastises Brahma just before he goes. He says, please do not give any more benedictions to the demons. Next time a demon comes to you, don't give him all these benedictions, because then he caused so many problems. And then Narada mentions the history once again, how in the previous life these two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, they became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and then in future lives they became Kumbhakarna, Ravana, and Shishupala and Dandavaka. So then at verse 47, the pastime finishes, and that's where the exam will go up to. Tomorrow night we'll go from verses 48 till the end of the chapter, chapter 10, but the exam won't be, because that leads into the next section, which is part of the Varnashram system. So we'll finish there. Srila Prabhupada ki.